I'm learning how to construct a topical sermon. May we make it really practical and useful for our for the preaching lives that you've given to us. Thank you, Father. Amen. Right, so the quiz. Do it. Okay, that'll do. Ta-da! Time is up. Right, stop it. Good. Right, okay. You're going to answer your own quiz sheets yourself, and you're going to do it later. First, we're going to be looking at how to set out a topical sermon. What is a topical sermon? What's a topical sermon?
That's the one where you avoid, as you say, and you look for different scriptures from somewhere to support the topic you're going to talk about.
Thank you. Would you suggest that Pastor Nambo's sermon you listened to this morning was a topical sermon?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah, I think it. Vernon, would you say so?
Yeah, sure.
What's your topic?
Coming of Christ.
Or the certainty of the coming of Christ. Okay, so that's your topic. Fair enough. No problem at all. You can do it in a number of ways. We're going to look at four ways here. There are many more than just these four ways. You can do it by examining a topic's different aspects, point by point. You can do it by stating a series of logical proofs. You can do it by illustrating your topic from different incidents. And it could be incidents in the Bible, or incidents from church history, or incidents in your own life, or whatever. Or you could do it by constructing your topical sermon by a series of analogies, and we're going to look at these. But this is what we're going to look at. Now we're going to look at each topic in a little bit more detail. The first way of constructing a topical sermon, the way of getting point 1, point 2, point 3, is by looking at it point by point. What's an aspect? I must admit, when I read the original slide, I'm not using the original slides, I thought, what on earth is that saying? So I had to break it down a little bit. What is an aspect? It's a particular feature of something. Okay? So, faith. What's an aspect of faith? What's a another? How do you break down faith into a different series of aspects?
You could define what it is.
Thank you. You could start off by defining what faith is. That's one aspect of your topic. Okay, good. What's another aspect of faith?
Looking at something from different angles.
Okay, right. So you could look at faith from a different angle. Let's move on a bit and we'll see. So some examples. The topic you've been given is prayer. And so you can break it out down into four sections. The meaning of prayer, the necessity of prayer, methods of prayer, and the results of prayer. Dead easy. So the four aspects of prayer that you could look at is the meaning of prayer, necessity of prayer, methods of prayer, the results of prayer. Can you suggest another aspect that you could examine prayer under and subdivide your sermon by?
Places, where would I pray?
You could do that, yes.
Biblical examples of praying people and what?
Thank you, okay.
The time of prayer.
The time of prayer. So there is no right answer, there's no wrong answer. It could be that you've prayed and said, Lord, I really, really need to break my topic down. And you've realized you want to look at meaning of prayer, necessity of prayer, the place of prayer, the time of prayer, and the results of prayer. There's no right, there's no wrong answer. It comes down to how the Holy Spirit has impressed you. But you're not going to cover the whole topic. And you're not going to be doing it as an expositional sermon. You're not going to be taking one text and breaking it down. You're going to be looking at a number of different topics, and so therefore you'll be looking at a number of different verses. So what might be a verse you could use to illustrate the necessity of prayer? Okay, that's a good one. Okay, so you'd use that as your base text, and you might use other illustrations to it to illustrate how that works. Perhaps I found myself in a particular situation, and I found the necessity of prayer was okay. So you're breaking down your topic into different subsections. It actually makes it much easier to preach a sermon when you do that, because it breaks it down, helps you realise what you're going to talk about. But it's great for your congregation if you start your sermon, look, we were having this discussion during the week, and we thought that prayer was something we needed to spend some time in our sermon this morning. And we decided we were going to break it down into four topics: the meaning of prayer, the necessity of prayer, methods of prayer, and the results of prayer. Brothers and sisters, in our sermon, let's start one by one. Let's start with the meaning of prayer. People know where they're going. It is subdivided. It's easy for them to follow, and it's great for you as you're trying to write your sermon out and prepare it. Faith. Okay? Subdivide it. I'm going to write down what has come out from your workbook. I'm going to ask you a fifth subdivision you could have used if you wanted to. So you could say, what is faith? Why is faith needed? How is faith received? What will faith accomplish? What's a fifth division you could use?
Who had faith?
Who had faith? Okay. Okay, what faith did. Okay, so it's really, there's no right, there's no wrong answers, but you have realized that there is a need to talk about faith, because you have been praying and you've, this topic has leapt out at you from your reading. Someone has asked you a question during the week. You have been visiting with someone and someone has said, I'd like to know about faith. Please, can you preach about that? Do you mind if I mention your name, you might say? And they'll say, of course you can do it. And as you're preparing, as you're praying, as you're reading, you realise, okay, these are the subdivisions I'm going to use in my topical sermon. We move on a bit. That's one way of doing it, by examining different aspects. One that could be used is to look at a series of logical proofs. And we'll see that in a few moments, but it's suggested in the workbook that it's used for controversial themes. Because it's more like following an argument. You're trying to prove something. It might be something you would do in a debate situation or in a sermon where you really want to get something across to a person and convince them this is what you should do and understand that this is the Bible's teaching about it. And they'll say, oh yeah, that makes sense. Yes. You would use it where your theme, where your topic is a statement of fact, or when you're trying to prove a logical argument. This doesn't work for everybody. So you could say that you're going to preach about the resurrection of Christ. and you'd break it down to prove it into three logical points. This is the argument of faith. Because the Bible declares it. And if the Bible declares it, well, that must be so. Number two, your second section. It's the argument from testimony. There were witnesses at the time and they said, look, of course it happened. We saw it. Three, there's the argument from history. A whole church, the Christian church, has been built on the whole on the idea that Jesus was resurrected. He's not a dead person. He's been raised from the dead. He's not even walking on this earth. He has been raised to sit at the right hand of God. Is there another logical proof you could use as a fourth logical argument to prove the resurrection of Christ? Oh, I could say even modern prophets declare it. So I might say, Ellen White, who we understand as was led by God, and would say to us, but of course the resurrection is true. Okay? So it's a logical argument, a logical series of arguments. So you start off your sermon and you're talking about the resurrection of Christ, and you might say, a lot of people, of course, don't believe in the resurrection of Christ. There was a famous Bishop of Durham who said, look, it just didn't happen. But I know that it did. By faith in my life, I can understand that this is true. But more than just by faith, I can look at some logical proofs. In our sermon this morning, we're going to look at three logical proofs. First, there's the argument of faith. Second, there's the argument from testimony. And third, there is the argument from history. Let's look at these step by step. We'll start with the argument of faith. So everybody knows where you're going in creating this logical argument. Okay? Or another example. Christ is the Messiah. Oh, wasn't that in the quiz? Yes, it was. So you could break that down to prove that Christ is the Messiah using these four proofs. One, there's the proof from Old Testament prophecy. Any prophecy you can think of?
Isaiah?
Daniel? Okay. Proof from Christ's works that show he's the Messiah. Any thoughts? Okay, fair enough. Proof from Christ's claims that he's the Messiah, and you'd go through a list of his claims. Oh, wow. And then proof from the power of Christ's gospel. So that's you're simply taking your topic and you're subdividing it up into a number of sections. You don't have to do four sections. You could do it with two sections or three, five. But remember, you are trying to get something that is logical, concise and sensible, and realize you cannot cover everything. Okay? So we've looked at two ways of subdividing a topical sermon. The first is by looking at different aspects, and this one we've looked at by recognizing there are different arguments that you can follow. Another one. You could illustrate your topic from different incidents that take place. Perhaps in the Bible. So for instance, they could come from Bible stories. They could come from biographies of different characters in the Bible. They could come from church history. So not necessarily from the Bible, but you could look at great people who believed in a certain topic. So for instance, if you are trying to talk about justification by faith, under this section of church history. There are three people you could really say stand out, who you could illustrate from their life to show that they believed in justification by faith. And the first one I would think of course, is Martin Luther. You could move on and then say, well, there's Charles Wesley, a great proponent and exponent of justification by faith. And then you'd come down and say, but of course, Ellen White and those people who follow her understanding of the Word of God, they also... So you break your topic down using different methods. So some instances. Now, I have no idea why that's occurred like that. Okay, right. So your topic, the disciplinary value of delay. It's seen in the life of Moses. It was seen in the case of Elijah. It was seen in the life of Paul. So Paul, in one case, he says, look, I would love to be at home with the Lord, but I know that for your sake, it's better that I stay here. Okay? So you're breaking the topic down, the disciplinary value of... I have to say, I've never preached a sermon on the disciplinary value of delay. But the point is, we're seeing examples of how you can break a topic down. The influence of a godly mother. So, a godly mother. You, of course, have to start thinking of Moses' mother. It's observed in Moses' early life. The influence of a godly mother is seen in Daniel's life and is noted in the life of Timothy. Can you think of another godly mother who you could quote here?
The mother of Jesus.
Obvious. So you're breaking the topic down, the influence of a godly mother, and you realize, what can I talk about? And I have to say that the influence of Jesus' mother is a tremendous influence. Chosen by God, there must have been something special about her to be chosen to be such an influence on a wonderful young man like baby Jesus, who grew up to be our Messiah. Okay? Another version of this. You can construct your topical sermon from a series of analogies. Now, it says here, and it's in your workbook, you use some familiar object or process and is chosen and treated part by part or step by step, but whereby such an analogy can be given spiritual significance. Pardon? It's easier to see it. The Christian life using an agricultural analogy. Sowing. Well, that's working for God. Cultivating in the crops as they're growing. Well, actually, you can relate cultivating the Christian life to prayer and Bible study. You're looking after the crop so that it grows into a good crop. Reaping. Well, those are the blessings that we get from the day-to-day life as being a Christian and from having and from experiencing eternal life. Okay? So that's one analogy. Or there's the courtroom of life. Judge, accuser, advocate and verdict. And so you're expressing this idea of life as a courtroom. You start with the judge, who is God the Father. What kind of judge do you picture him as? You recognize then that there is an accuser, and you look at what Satan does to accuse not just us, but accuses God. We realize that there is also an advocate, Jesus, who stands up for us, and you show how he stands up for us. And you realize, finally, the verdict. We're not guilty, not because we're so great, but because Jesus has died in our place. He has given us not just justice, but he gives us his mercy. We're going to go back into the quiz. I'm going to give you 10 minutes this time to go through this quiz and perhaps review what you wrote and start thinking, what can I do? So you're a member of a small group who meet in a member's home. The aim of the group is to win souls for Christ. You decide, during the time with the Word of God in your small group, you realize that some people are struggling with doing God's will. You decide to preach about this issue using a topical sermon. What topic will you choose? Okay? The next one, you're a member of a visiting team. During the meeting, one of the members tells you in front of the group they have a problem with giving tithe. You decide to preach about this issue using a topical sermon. The topic you choose is tithing. Do you have advice to offer this preaching training group? And this is the trick question, I have to say. Number three, the church board have decided to organise an evangelistic campaign. You have preached 5 times already. The church is very happy with how God has blessed you with the gift of preaching. And now the church board have asked you to preach a sermon addressing the topic, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You have your introduction all sorted out, but how do you break down the topic to give at least 3 proofs? I'm going to give you 10 minutes, and just to help you, I'm going to go back just a little bit. Okay. 10 minutes. Redo the quiz. Okay, that's it. Let's see how we did. On the first one, you're a member of a small group who meets in a member's home. During the time with the Word of God, you realise that some people are struggling with doing God's will. And so you decide to preach about this issue using a topical sermon. So what topic would you choose?
Obedience.
Pardon? Obedience? Okay. Who's got other alternatives?
Commitment.
Okay, so obedience, commitment. So, fair enough. Any others that you might choose? There is no right, there is no wrong to this.
As in, fear not, you are not alone.
Thank you. Fear not, you are not alone. How would you break that topic up? Start thinking. What other solutions might you choose? What other topics might you come to address the issue with? Ugo.
God enables us. I don't know how I can put it.
Right. Or could be just God enables us. Okay.
Christian life.
The Christian life. Okay. So, our brother at the back, how would you break it down? At least give one subsection.
How can I have the confidence?
Right. Or you could change it around a little bit. God gives confidence. Okay. So you're actually taking someone's issue, and you're addressing that issue in a sermon, and you're breaking the topic down into several sections that will enable it easier for you to write, enable you to cover the topic so that people understand what's going on, but it also helps your congregation to realize where you're going. You're going to stand up in front of them and say, this is my topic this week is such and such. This is the reason why we're looking at this topic. And what we're going to do is we're going to look at it under 3 sections. Point A, point B and point C. Okay? Question two. You're a member of a witnessing team who meet in a member's home. The aim of the group is to win souls to Christ using practical service as your method. There is one church in Holland that does this. They effectively have three venues for church. On Monday, they meet together as a group of brothers and sisters in their own prayer meeting. And they hear requests from different people in the community for help. And they say, right, who are we going to do? Who are we going to help this week? And they arrange who they're going to help, what they need to do, what time they're going to meet on Sunday. They turn up at a person's house on the Sunday. They give the practical help. It could be gardening. It could be helping to build a conservatory. It could be laying a carpet. It could be doing some whatever. And the third place that they meet is as they finish their helping task, there is one condition they set on the people that they're working with. And that is, we're going to help you, but next week we want you to come with us and help somebody else. And a lot of the people decide, oh, I like this so much, they keep on helping. And it's at that point that the third church meeting is involved. And that's on the Thursday, where they invite all the people together, those who've been helped, those who are helpers, to join together for a prayer meeting on Thursday evening. And they then invite people from there to church on Sabbath. It works really well for that small group in a very, very modern and intellectual town in the north of Holland, and they've got a church growing where they never had one before. That's beside the point. During one of the meetings, one of the members tells you in front of the whole group they have a problem with giving tithe. You decide to preach about this issue using a topical sermon, and the topic you choose, of course, is tithing. Do you have advice to offer this preaching training group?
Yes.
Pardon? So what advice, apart from yes?
So, define what tithing is.
Right, okay. Okay, so you might say to the person who's going to preach, okay, make sure you define what tithing is, okay? Any other advice you might give?
Just to make them understand why tithing is important. And its origins and the purpose of the tithing, looking at from the point of view of God is the giver of everything. It's not that we are giving, but we are retaining what God has given to us.
That's nice. You could break your sermon down into several topics just using that piece of advice. That's very good. I did note it was a trick question. Why? Do you think it's really sensible to take everybody's requests from your small group or from your witnessing group or whatever and preach about everybody's requests? No, it's not. This topic, you know, the person who's spoken to you said, look, I only told you about it. I wanted some advice in the small group. I didn't want you to preach about it in church. What would you do in that kind of situation where you realise it's a good topic to preach about, but you want to be a bit sensitive? What would you do?
Change the topic from tithing. Just said giving is a blessing.
That's nice.
So that is, then I can put practical examples where I picked up the widow and her son, and how when they give, blessings multiplied. Then I can now link it to Proverbs 3.
Wow.
To say, when you do that, this is what God expects to us. I'm not I know it's a sensitive thing they have asked for me, but now I'll go into practical examples and give them. And at the end, I'll say the benefits of tithing. Then I'll go to Malachi and say,
right.
Malachi says,
storehouse of heaven.
And then I would have addressed it diplomatically without
hurting. Good. Okay. Okay, that's one way of doing it. I think that's a really excellent breakdown. You could go to the person and say, do you mind if I preach about it? You know, there are some things that... But also there are some things that it's best... You don't preach about it. It's best to actually go to the person and sit down and talk it through with them and preach about them. Okay? But I love the breakdown that was given there. That is a good breakdown. Please write it down. I might use it.
But I think when it comes to tithing, because tithing affects every member of the church, it's not a private thing
right.
for one person. So even if it's preached, because it's somewhere will be even talked about every time, or not every time, but time and again, it's somewhere that has to be talked to the church
yes.
and to make the church aware why tithing is there. There might be members that are not even aware why they are doing it, but they've just come and just followed. It's just a norm. But
yeah.
not knowing why people
not
are
knowing.
Doing tithing.
Right.
But because it's a topic that affects the whole church, I think preaching about it wouldn't offend a single person when they know, if they
right.
know why tithing is there and
okay.
who started the tithing, because it's God who started it. It's not in.
Right.
It's,
okay.
It's unlike someone telling me about their private
yeah.
business at home. But this
right.
is for God's will.
Yeah. But the wider point behind this question is you don't preach about everything. There are some things you do by. Face to face. Ellen White has this quote, there should be less sermonizing, and her point is that some of these things should be dealt with face to face. But I am reminded of the closing words that Pastor Nambo had upstairs, that sermons should be something that lift us up, they should be encouraging. And I do like the approach in this, in your outline here, where you looked at the blessings of giving. Rather than, this is about paying tithe, you're looking at the blessings of giving. And that is one thing we should be trying to do in however we break up any sermon. That we should find a way in which there's always a very positive note of God's grace and God's favour and the way that God cares in each outline. So, well done. Nice one. Number three. The church board, sorry, yes.
There is a problem for people to pay or to bring forward their time, generally in the church.
I wouldn't say generally, but certainly for some people is a real problem.
Therefore, it needs addressing.
It does need addressing. Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. Oh, I'm not saying it should. No, I'm not saying it shouldn't be addressed.
Okay.
You go back to the early Adventist church in Great Britain in the 1920s and the 1930s. And many church clerks used to record what each sermon was about every week. And there is one church on the east, further up on the east coast of Great Britain, and they've got the records going back to 1910. Okay, and you know what the and you know that in each month you'll get one sermon on tithe, one sermon on the second coming, one sermon on the sanctuary, and one sermon on the duty of the Christian, and that's the same all through the year. Right. And that was accepted, and that's the way things happened. And it wasn't unusual. My guess is there were plenty of churches that did that. Okay? So it is important. Okay? But do it very positively. It should not be done with a long wagging finger. Okay? Okay. The final one. The church board have decided to organise an evangelistic campaign. You've preached 5 times already. And now the church board have asked you to preach a sermon in the evangelistic series addressing the topic, Jesus Christ is the Messiah. You have your introduction all sorted out, but how do you break down the topic to give at least 3 proofs? So how would you break down the topic? You know what it says here, but how would you break down that topic to prove that Jesus is the Messiah?
Who is Christ?
He is Christ? Is that what, is that,
who
yeah?
Is Christ?
Who is Christ? More than that, we want more. We want three. Three subdivisions. So, who is Christ? That's one.
Now, is he the Messiah?
Is he the Messiah? And this is fair enough. Who is Christ? Is he the Messiah? You're trying to build this up as a logical proof. Who's Christ? Part one. Two. Is he the Messiah? And you could actually say number three, he is the Messiah. Okay? How else could that be broken up?
On the third one I said, how do I know he is the Messiah?
Oh, I like that. How do I know? Good one. Any other suggestions?
I put it as Christ is the Son of God, Christ who lived on earth, Christ the Mediator, and Christ the Saviour.
Very good. Okay. So you've broken it down. You could stand up in front of your congregation and your evangelistic congregation, and you've talked in your introduction, you've used a story from the local news, and you say, we ought to address this issue of Jesus Christ as the Messiah. We're going to look at it under these topics. Da, 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 da. And then you deal with each topic individually. It means you know where you're going, and it means your congregation know logically where they're going, and if they're taking notes they can say, oh right, okay, done that one, very good, done that one, right, I understand that one, done that one. So he really is the Messiah. Any other suggestions for subdivisions for the topic Jesus Christ is the Messiah?
I can put it in the way that, like, from the beginning, start from the beginning, where Christ, when Christ was there, when during the creation week, and take it up to the time where Christ was revealed in prophecy before he was born.
Right.
And come to the time where Christ has been born.
Right.
And from there, you can maybe add some, like, the way he came.
Right.
And his rejection, and because it was prophesied before. And what was prophesied in the Old Testament is now coming reality in the New Testament, and his resurrection is coming again. Is
right.
Coming.
So you'd want to break that down into three subsections.
Yeah.
That's the good way of putting it. Okay, on the back row, please.
Yeah, I put it down and say, first one was, who is Jesus Christ? How is Jesus Christ different from other prophets? Where is Jesus Christ now? And the fourth one, what is Jesus Christ able to do for you and me?
Okay, so this isn't so much addressing the issue of Jesus Christ, the Messiah, and logical proofs. And this is not wrong at all. You're just taking the topic and doing something different with it, because it's how the Lord has led you to think that through. There is no right or wrong to these, you know. There really isn't. I wouldn't use the logical proof method. Some people I know do, and they do it very well. But you've addressed it through different incidents and different aspects. Good. We're going to review now. Methods of construction of a sermon, of a topical sermon. You could examine your topic by different aspects, point by point. You could state a series of logical proofs. You could illustrate your topic from different incidents in the Bible or in church history, and you could do it by constructing from a series of analogy. Life is like a... Okay? There is no right or wrong way. The important point to take away from this section is this. Make sure you've got a logical outline to follow. It helps you write, it helps you think, but it really helps your congregation to say, he knows where he's going, and I or he or she is going, and I understood that process as well. We're going to go to the end, if I can work out how to do this. No, that's not the way to do it. No, it's not that one I want. Right, it's this. We need to do a review of what we're doing. You heard what Pastor Nambo is going through today. The analysis of people's sermons, it really does help. So I'll put on the Netherfield website for you to look at. You can download as many of those as you like. It is a good idea to do it. Your pastor will not mind you analysing his sermons. In fact, you probably turn around and say, they're really taking note. It's really good. It's also good to analyse your own sermons. So when we come to do the exam sermons in a few weeks' time, we will all be sitting down analysing each other's. And you will analyse your own as well, because you'll have the video to watch and you can go through it. And it's the way to learn. I could have made that structure a lot clearer. Okay? You're going to go through your course notes for today and for next week, next time in preparation. You're going to continue going through the Synoptian textbook we've got. Thank you for those people who've been sending in their five quotes from each chapter. I've got quite a nice file of those. Some have done really well. And I've thought, good. And there's a lot of correspondence. A lot of you are choosing the same sections. That's not because you're cheating. It's because they actually stand out as those are the passages that help you learn. Because this is the point. As you read through, you take these little bits of passage, you take the quote and you think, I've learned something from that. Write up your notes, the quotations of course, but I want to go through these sections to do now. You should be working on your sermon outlines. In your workbook, there are a number of sermon outlines you need to create. And you need to start working on those. We've given you some examples, and you've worked on some examples yourselves of how to do some sermon outlines. It's very easy. It's not hard at all. See, but you do need to not just keep them in your head. You do need to write them down. You do need to start thinking about handing them in, either to myself or Pastor Nambo. You need to be thinking about preparing your sermons, and there are two of them. One is the exam sermon. And Vernon, we haven't worked out how long they're going to preach for. If they're going to give a half-hour sermon each, that is really going to commit us ourselves to a long period of time for exams. Would you reckon 10 minutes?
Yeah, 10 minutes should be fine. To be good for them as well, because the key thing really is to know the principle.
Yeah.
So if you can do it for 10 minutes, you can do it for half an hour.
Yes.
So 10 minutes should be fine. And for recording and another, evaluating, that's pretty good.
Yes. Yeah. Can I also point out to you that a 10-minute sermon is harder to work on than a half-hour sermon?
Yeah.
It is much harder. I was the pastor in the Isle of Man congregation, and for one big reason, sermons had to be kept to 5 minutes long. The average age of the congregation was 90 years old. If you didn't finish in 5 minutes, they were all fast asleep. Okay? And so you preached at the top of your voice, and you tried to keep them awake 5 minutes, and it's quite something. It was great. And I thought, let's make it really difficult. So I did the 2,300 days in 5 minutes, did the millennium in 5 minutes, the sanctuary service in 5 minutes. It was such a blessing for me, because I now know what are the really important things. So when you come to your exam sermons, prepare the sermon, but you're only doing for 10 minutes, right? You need to plan those sermons, because it may be that you need to talk to Pastor Nambo and work out a time when you can preach your sermons. If you haven't got a available space here to preach, you can all speak to me and I will find you a place in Newark or in Netherfield if you can travel. They would love to have you. And then you need to start these sermon assessments. Okay? Vernon, do you have any points to make? And then class, do you have any questions to ask?
My points are covered, Peter. What you've said is all I...
Okay.
Points
are questions?
So, only preparing one sermon.
So who's got the work? Who's got a copy of the work of the worksheet? And you can run through for us, Vernon, what you're actually required to do. I'm struggling with seeing you because it's quite dark out there, and I'm wearing my reading glasses, and I can only see to the projector, and you know, it's a bit blurred beyond. Okay. So that explains to you what you're actually going to be preparing. And please note that the emphasis in your work is to work on expository sermons. Sermons that explain a passage of the Bible. And we will be looking at that and how to lay out such a sermon in next meeting's part 9, is it, Vern? You're doing that one,
sure.
I think. Okay. So, Vern, would you go through quickly what's required?
I've just on page 6.
Yeah.
If you turn to page 6, on the grade distribution. That's the information that you need, and that's the task you have to complete. Are we all there? Yeah.
So it's quite a bit of work, but you will be the one that's most blessed out of doing this work.
So in completing the two sermons, you're expected to preach the two sermons.
There's one exam sermon, that's the 10-minute one, and there's one in addition.
Yeah.
And it's that one in addition that, you know, if you can't fit it in here at Scunthorpe, or Lincoln, or whatever. See me, and I can. Newark would love to have you. Netherfield would love to have you. All right, but it could be that you know you do it during prayer meeting or so on. So, okay. So there's always a way. We're bending over backwards to make this possible for you. Lady in green.
So the second sermon, we have to do it within our time frame
both of them, they all have to be done within the time frame of the course.
So who will be marking us there if we are saying, let's say we travel to Newark?
Oh no, we've got Newark sorted out. They're going to be trained to assess you.
Okay.
Because we've got two of the members there who are doing the course themselves. So you know they're at, by the time you come out there, they will nearly have finished the course.
Okay.
Any other questions, lady in blue?
When is this?
When is the exam sermon?
Well, that's going to be March.
Yep.
The last dates we have is March. I'll give you a specific date right now. So the exam sermon, one is on the 2nd, and the other one shared is on the 3rd, 30th. So
okay.
I think the reason why we have the two dates is for the time for the recording.
Yep.
Yeah. In other words, we'll have some recording on the 2nd, and then others. Or we may do all the recordings on the same day.
Yeah.
And then we do the 30th to analyze.
Yes, but you need to be there all the way through.
Yeah.
You know, we've got a camera and we've got the recorder, so it will be recorded for you.
So we can suggest we take 2nd of March to be the day for recording.
Yep.
So that's all we'll do during the session. So if we're doing 10 minutes each, that's enough time.
Yes.
We have 2.5 hours.
Yeah.
We should be able to complete that. If we have a bit of time within that, we can start to analyze.
But as each sermon is preached, you'll be doing your written analysis.
Yeah.
It's this next time round that we actually... Okay? And you'll be able to go away with your sermon recorded so that you can watch yourself and be pleased at God at work in your life. Okay?
What about these planned sermons, the 6 of them, as they're supposed to be submitted?
Yes, they are to be submitted. They're to be written down and you give by March?
Yes, because the whole of February we don't have sessions. We are completing the last session on the 19th. So we're going to be here, God willing, next week on the 12th, and then the next one's on the 19th. So the idea was to give the whole of February to do the remaining assignments. So if you already have the outlines, you can hand them in.
Yeah.
But February is the time when, you know, it's given to yourselves to do that. So within February, it's expected for you to complete that. Because on the 2nd of March, we do the recording.
Yeah.
So you need to have the sermon you wish to record ready by the 2nd of March.
Now, obviously, if there's issues, you need to talk them through with either Pastor Nambo or myself. We're not here to have you fail.
No.
The aim is to get 100% properly passed. We will work with you and help you and guide you. If any of you feel as though you want to preach your sermon to us first before you do the exam sermon, that's fine. That's lovely. I tend to do that with first-time preachers anyway in my local churches. They're preaching. I get them a couple of weeks beforehand. They preach the sermon to me and we go through it. We tidy it up and then they preach it, and by God's grace, something wonderful happens. Okay? Any other questions? That's it. Right. We close with prayer. Pastor Nambo.
Sure. Could we please rise? Our gracious and loving Father in heaven, we can't thank you enough for your goodness towards us. We're thankful for the time you gave us together, for what we have learned. And we pray that through your Spirit you may empower us, Lord, to be the preachers you want us to be. As we now dismiss, we pray that you go before each one of us and help us continue to enjoy the rest of the day. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Amen.